The head does not always rule the heart. A Marvel and Supernatural fandom fusion, written by Flower Parish and read by 42 Do Not Panic. Summary: Matt Murdock doesn't believe in soul marks.
What a strange being you are. God knows where I would be if you hadn't found me sitting all alone in the dark.
Matt Murdock doesn't believe in soul marks. Oh, he knows they exist. Everyone talks about them often enough, not just in person, but in media as well. They're brought up in every book he's listened to, every podcast, every morning radio show, you name it. So he knows no one made them up just to fuck with him. But Matt doesn't believe in his soul mark, in part because he can't see it anymore. Oh, he saw it when he was a kid. Long before he lost his sight. He even traced it on scraps of paper often enough that he remembers, more or less, the shape of it. But after he lost his sight, after he lost his father, he stopped believing in soul marks. In college, he thought he'd met his soul mark. She'd looked at his wrist and said her mark matched, and it wasn't until Foggy Nelson called her out on it 5 days later that he even knew she'd been lying. Matt and Foggy are, of course, best friends now. If there's one person Matt can trust to be his eyes, it's Foggy. But Matt doesn't trust soul marks. It isn't even about the lying, not really. Matt's just seen enough relationships go downhill to know that soul marks aren't any kind of guarantee, and plenty of people are happiest with people who aren't their soulmates. At best, Matt thinks maybe it's a marker of potential, but that is enough of an unpopular opinion that he keeps this to himself. He keeps it to himself, and he wears long-sleeved shirts as often as he can, so the mark on his wrist isn't on display, and he gets on with his life secure in the knowledge that he'll never know if he meets his soulmate, and it's better that way for both of them. Matt dates. He dates a girl later in college, one who doesn't pretend to be his soulmate, of course, and a guy during law school, although their relationship is more friends with occasional sex than anything serious. He even dates Karen for a brief period after she's been their assistant for a year, but they end things on good terms after a few months. Matt's been single for a couple of years now, though. He didn't anticipate that changing anytime soon, but then July comes, and they're in Chicago for a law conference. The first night, Matt waves Foggy off when his best friend says he wants to try a restaurant he's heard rave reviews for while they're here. Matt has no interest in hipster cuisine. But Karen came along for the hell of it, and she's just as happy to accompany Foggy, so Matt takes up a seat at the hotel bar instead and settles in. He hears when the person comes in and sits next to him, one empty seat in between them. Matt can hear him rubbing his fingers against the back of his hand, a repetitive motion that doesn't cease as he waits for his drink. Once the drink is delivered and the bartender moves away, Matt can't help but be nosy. He wanted to be alone, yes, was tired from the flight. But now he's bored. How long since the divorce? Matt asks. He hears an intake of breath, a sound more annoyed than surprise, and turns his head a bit so he's almost facing the figure. The breath catches, and then the person, a man apparently, laughs a little ruefully and asks, "Is it that obvious?" Matt explains about the noise he'd heard, wishing Foggy was here so he could tell Matt what the guy's expression looks like. He has the strangest impulse to reach out, to trace his fingers over the man's face, to feel for himself. He hasn't had that many drinks yet. It's still early in the night. What the hell? Marriage ended a while ago, the man says, but we only signed the paperwork a couple months back. Matt nods slowly. My name's Matt, he offers. Can I buy you a drink? There's a 50-50 chance, he figures, that this guy will be looking for company, whether friendly or more. Matt's not too fast, and he's willing to risk it. Even if he is offended, most people didn't dare punch a blind man. And if he tried to, well, Matt knows how to hit back twice as hard. The man laughs, though, the sound a little more genuine. "I'm Sam," he offers, and, "Sure, I like that." Matt offers his hand for Sam to shake, and Sam does. His fingers are warm and calloused. Big hands that hint at a larger size that Matt couldn't intuit from his voice. All Matt can really tell is that he sounds young, definitely not much older than Matt, 33, if that. Sam, it turns out, is here for the conference as well. He lives in California, works at a big firm, but he admits, a few drinks in, that he's not sure he's cut out for that kind of firm he's at. It's soulless, Sam says after a bit. I don't mind the work or the hours, but I want to help people. Matt agrees. Yeah. He tells Sam, in turn, about Nelson and Murdoch, how half the time they can barely pay the rent and Karen's wages both, never mind having money left over for themselves, but how it's good work, and Matt's loath to sell out if they can help it. By the time the bar's closing for the night, there's a warmth in Matt's gut that he doesn't think can be blamed solely on the alcohol. You'll be around for a few more nights? He hears a shift as Sam moves, and then Sam says, Yeah, I'll see you around, Matt. Matt smirks. Not if I see you first. Sam laughs. Thank you for all of this. Matt takes a risk, reaching out for Sam's hand where his fingers are drumming against the bar top. He covers Sam's hand with his own, squeezes gently. It was my pleasure. They go their separate ways, Matt leaving first, and he wonders if Sam's watching as he goes. He kind of hopes Sam is, and Matt doesn't really know what to do with that hope. When someone takes the open chair on Matt's right side the next day, Foggy is, of course, at his left, and clears their throat, Matt grins. Sam, he says, turning in Sam's direction. Hi, Matt. Foggy shifts, leaning around Matt to introduce himself. Matt leans back in his chair to give them room to shake hands, and when they do, Matt hears a slight inhale from Foggy. He doesn't say anything, though, so Matt decides to let it go for now. He knows it was an attraction. Foggy says ace as they come, but not having an easy explanation just makes Matt all the more curious. They listen to the presentation, and Foggy leans in to whisper any visual clues to Matt that he would otherwise miss. Once, when Foggy ducks out to go to the bathroom, Sam falls in and whispers a couple of visual cues to Matt instead. He isn't weird about it, not like most people would be. There's no pity or expectation in his tone. He does it like it's the most natural thing, his tone the same as Foggy's usual is. Sam is not like most people Matt has ever known. They part ways at the end of the presentation. Sam headed off to meet with some people for lunch, and Foggy and Matt getting ready to track down Karen. Hey, Matt, Foggy says, tugging him into a corner to talk when Sam's gone. Yeah? That guy, you like him? Matt thinks about Sam and feels a soft smile curve at his lips. Yeah. Foggy makes a noise that Matt can identify. A sigh, maybe? But what kind of sigh? None that Matt is familiar with. Okay. Good. Matt waits a second struck by until half a minute has passed, but Foggy doesn't say anything more. Karen? Matt prompts. Foggy nods. Matt can always tell by the sound of his hair brushing against his cheeks and shoulders at the vigorous motion. Yeah, Karen. Sam and Matt don't sleep together until the final night of the conference. Sam is sharing a room with a co-worker and Matt is sharing Foggy, so it seems like maybe it won't happen after all. But then Foggy tells Matt that he's spending the night at Karen's room, and could he please do something about this pitiful pining? Matt tells Foggy to fuck off, meets him at the bar for a drink before it closes for the night, and tries to work up the courage to ask. Sam beats him to it. Am I reading this right? This? Matt gestures between the two of them. As in, us? Yeah. Matt smiles, slow and genuine. I think you probably are. I don't do casual, Sam tells him carefully. Fine by me, Matt agrees. Do you do distance? Not usually, Sam admits. But for you? Yeah, I think so. Matt reaches out and pulls Sam in for a kiss. There aren't a lot of people around, anyway. Not that Matt thinks he would care if there were. I'm alone in my room tonight, he says quietly as they part, lips a breath away from Sam's. If you want to join me? Sam doesn't hesitate. He nods, a motion Matt can easily identify from where they're pressed together, from the shift of his breath against Matt's face and the shift of his neck under Matt's fingers. His hair is longer than Matt expected and so soft. Yeah, I do. The next morning, they're lying in bed when Sam asks, "Hey, do you believe in soulmates?" Matt hesitates. He knows that his answer means to most people, particularly people who want to enter into relationships. "Not really," he says finally. "Do you?" "I didn't," Sam tells him, "but I'm not so sure anymore." "Oh?" Sam reaches out and traces over the mark on Matt's wrist. "You should ask Foggy," he says, voice quiet but tone warm, "and then text me." Matt swallows down his suspicions and pulls Sam into a kiss. He wants to say, "You could just tell me," but he can't trust that, can he? And Sam just knows. More than knows. He understands. Matt doesn't want to hope. Very rarely in his life have hopes been fulfilled. They part ways, Sam headed back to his room to pack for his flight. His is much earlier in the day than Matt's, so Matt just sips the coffee Sam had made before he left and waits for Foggy to come back. Foggy knocks before he enters, peeking in to see if Sam's still around before he comes all the way into the room. "Good night?" he asks, voice happy and bright. Matt holds out his bare wrists, even though he knows Foggy's seen it before. "Sam said I should ask you about soulmates." Foggy reaches out, fingers tracing over Matt's mark. "Yeah," he says, cutting right to the heart of the matter. "I saw that first day when he shook my hand. But you... well, I didn't want to say anything and risk fucking it up. I figure I'd wait until he said something. Or you asked." Matt can hear the worry in Foggy's tone, how he's scared that he's failed Matt somehow, that Matt will be angry with him for keeping the mark a secret. In most cases, Matt probably would be angry, but not now. Not when he's thinking about how he spent days getting to know Sam when he might have been avoiding him instead. Not now that they decided to try things, to be together on their own terms rather than because of marks on their skin. Soulmates, Matt thinks, are a potential at best. And he's so grateful that he got to choose to follow that potential on his own, unlike most people. "Thanks," Matt says quietly. He pulls his hand back just enough to wrap Foggy's fingers in his, squeezing gently. "I'm gonna text him." "Good," Foggy says, and he sounds genuinely relieved. "Not because he's your soulmate. He makes you happy. That's all that matters to me." "I know," Matt agrees, because Foggy still does believe in soulmates, even though he's seen enough matches go wrong. But he's always respected Matt's opinion on the matter, and Matt's loved him for that, and so much more. "I don't know if I believe in soulmates," Matt texts Sam. He follows it, less than a minute later, with, "But I'm willing to find out." The end. 'Cause I'm sick of losing soulmates, so where do we begin? I can finally see you're as fucked up as me, so how do we win? Yeah, I'm sick of losing soulmates, won't be alone again. I can finally see you're as fucked up as me, so how do we win?